Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Yes, welcome back. It's the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And it's so glad to have you back here joining us, myself, and my extremely attractive audio engineer here at the McBurney compound, where the big story of the day was the, well, not capture, what would you call it? A rescue. A rescue of an injured mourning dove, yes, who's been determined to be male by our eldest, who is nursing the injured mourning dove back to health. I tell you, nature is rough. It's rough out there. The girls had the joy of watching little birdies hatch a few days ago, and then they had the heartbreak of seeing that the little birdies had been devoured by some other creature. And it's just rough out there. But this injured mourning dove, well, he's got it made in the shade. I mean, they got him set up. He's eating out of a bowl. It's fantastic. Anyway, so we've been having a good time here. Getting that mourning dove back to health and determining the sex of the mourning dove, which I had no idea how to do. I always assume a bird is a female. I don't know why. Is that sexist or something like that to assume that? Anyway, but there you have it. That's what we've been doing all day around here. Now, I want to report to you on a conversation I had with an acquaintance, fellow I just met, had a chance to do some work with, and we're talking about life, the universe, and everything. His life, my life, all the stupid things we've done, and just a couple of the smart moves we've made in life, and how things have turned out now that we're both approaching 50 years old, and just never thought it would kind of end up this way. I never thought I'd end up this way. He never thought he'd end up this way. The way he did. So we're talking, and at some point he asks me, do I deserve to be happy? Don't I deserve to be happy? He said. And my immediate response was no, not really. And he looked at me kind of cockeyed because I don't think he was expecting that. And I said, well, listen, from the perspective of the Christian worldview, you actually deserve to be dead. I mean, if life's not all about happiness. If it was about happiness, if that was the big thing, well, then Jesus would have been handing out party hats and noisemakers on Calvary. But that's not what he did. He had to die because we all deserve death, and he took death for us. So I said, no, you don't deserve to be happy. You deserve to be dead. You should be grateful that you're taking a breath every day. And at the end of the day, if you can, in your life, find one person that you can trust implicitly without any reservation, and once or twice a week you can find a moment of just solace and relaxation and where you can just reflect on your life, well, then you should consider yourself happy. You should consider yourself having had a decent life. And that's better than most. Anyway, I've ended up fairly happy. Although I know I come across as pretty miserable and crotchety on this show, I'm generally a pretty happy person. Hanging out here at the McBurney compound with my extremely attractive audio engineer, my daughters. But I didn't set out to be happy. And I never really found someone I could trust implicitly, nor did I find the ability to just relax and take a breath until I pursued what is good. What is righteous and what is lovely and what is edifying. That's when I ended up or started to experience, well, what I consider happiness. Maybe my level of happiness wouldn't be considered happy by some. Isn't there one radio host who has a whole hour every week about happiness? The happiness hour. And everyone calls in, talks about how miserable they are. How can I be happy? Well, pursue what is good and right, lovely, edifying, just. And maybe you'll find some happiness somewhere in there. But it's few and far between, and you got to appreciate it when you can get it. And it's just not what life is all about, that's all. Life is all about relationships, primarily your relationship to your Creator. And if you want to find out about that, go to Denver Bible Church, which we didn't do today. We had to skip church because we had to rescue the bird and plant a tree. We planted a tree today, so the liberals be loving us, right? We rescued a bird and planted a tree and skipped church.
Okay.
They love us. We're in with the in crowd with the beautiful people. All right. Let's see. So, no, you don't deserve to be happy. He told me, he said, no one ever told me I didn't deserve to be happy. He said, I keep reading books that tell me I'm supposed to be happy. I said, yeah. Well, people who say that, they make a lot of money writing books, but they're not helping you, all right? The right thing is usually not the thing that makes you the happiest, and it's not the easiest. And a good positive message that can actually help people is quite often unpopular. Because doing right is often more difficult. And you lose friends, and it's just difficult. But there, okay. So if you're listening and you thought you deserved to be happy, you were wrong. Okay, and I hope that helps. Now, let's get to the news, as if I wanted to get to the news. I hate the news anymore. Did I say last week I'm considering just quitting this show because I can't stand reading the news? Did I say that last week? If I didn't say that last week, I should have. And I'm saying it this week, okay? The Triple Crown, okay? American Pharoah, the fine horse, wins the Triple Crown, first one in 30-some years since the 70s. And so it's a big story. Here, this fella, this jockey, Victor Espinosa, he's about to be one of the most famous people in the world. Almost like Bruce Jenner in 1976. We'll get to that. But what does he do on national television in front of God and everybody and all our kids? He has to let rip with some profanity right there on camera. I'm not going to quote him, but it was just a profanity erupted out of his mouth. And, you know, there was a time when his manager and his people would have been concerned about his career and endorsements. And what did he just blow because he said a swear word on the air? But now it just doesn't matter. Everybody just kind of snickers at it. Well, I didn't snicker. I was offended by it. And I'm not going to sue the guy or anything, but I'm certainly not going to look for him and hold him up as anything other than just a profane jockey. A profane midget is all he is.
Hey.
It's disgusting.
He's taller than
you. Oh, well, he might be a little taller than you, but he's certainly not as decent a human being. And it's just embarrassing for America and for just our culture in general that this is where we are. Just so coarse and sick. We went out to a restaurant last week, right? We went somewhere. You can't hardly go out in public anymore. What with the freaks and the tattoos and the facial disfigurement and who can take that anymore?
Yeah.
That's why I want to just build walls around my compound and just keep the world out. You people are making me sick. I can't hardly go out anymore.
Do I deserve to be happy?
Yeah. Don't I deserve to not have to look at tattooed freaks with kitchen utensils in their face? I mean, it's just disgusting. You're trying to eat a meal. It's an overpriced meal at a crowded restaurant with a bunch of people that you'd never want to see. Now, my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, this past week, we celebrated our wedding anniversary, and I had told a business associate, that my wife and I would be having dinner, and I couldn't go and do this work-oriented thing because we're going to go to dinner. So, of course, the next day he calls me, well, where'd you go to dinner? I said, well, we went to my house, and I had a bison ribeye, and the girls had salmon, and it was nirvana because we didn't have to go out into the world and see any of the freaks and weirdos. And anyway, so yeah, it was our anniversary. Yeah, thank you very much. Happy anniversary. That's, yep. All right. So people always say, congratulations on not getting divorced for another year. That's great. You guys are really impressive. You must be happy. Well, we find our moments of contentment. All right, now, let's get into the news because I have to do it. We go to the war file first. The remaining 8 female Ranger School candidates have failed out of the Army's Elite Infantry Program Ranger School. That's right. So while standards have definitely changed when it comes to what a celebrity can vomit out on the air as far as profanity and still have a career, that standard has changed. But apparently the Army's Ranger School standard has not changed all that much, at least not yet. Five of the girls were kicked out of training. Three others are going to be allowed to be recycled. That means they get to go back to the beginning. They start their next class on June 21st and are expected to drop out around the 23rd. Well, that's just my prediction. If they make it to the 23rd, I'd be shocked. And by the way, the girls failed out of the first phase, which is from what I know, that's the easier part. That's called the Darby phase. That's when they weed out the weaklings, which is usually like 90%. The Darby phase, according to Fox News, is followed by a mountain phase and then a swamp phase. And so none of the girls, they just couldn't make it past the very first phase. But don't feel bad, ladies. Keep your chin up. Only 3% of the U.S. Army is Ranger qualified. Now, they are all boys, the ones that are, but it's only 3%. So most of us boys, tough guys, we couldn't do it either. So, you know, don't cry all over yourself because you couldn't make it through Ranger school. That's actually a good sign for the country and for society that the Rangers are not doing the whole quota hire thing, bringing the girls in. And by the way, real women flunk out of Ranger school, in my humble opinion. Now, speaking of real women, let's speak about fake women, or a fake woman anyway. You know, I had posited over the past couple weeks the possibility that Bruce is doing his transgender act all, well, as an act for a reality show, for attention, to make some money. And I've been poo-pooed by a number of my friends and acquaintances who say, no, this is way too big of a deal. I mean, look what he's got to go through with the hormones and the breasts, and come on. And I said, what? Come on. I said, I think he would do it. Well, here we go from Breitbart. A new reality series called I Am Kate premieres July 26th on the E! Network, and it will feature Bruce. Yeah, Bruce is now a one-name celebrity, like Cher. You just say, Bruce. Now, you have to say it like that. So if you say it like that, everybody knows which Bruce you're talking about. It's kind of funny how art imitates life, because it's always been kind of a stereotype that a homosexual man is named Bruce. You know, I'm going to the bathhouse to meet Bruce. And now here Bruce is, well, the stereotype becomes a sick and disturbing reality. Bruce, of course, denies that he's doing it just to get a show. He says, no, I'm not doing it for money. I'm doing it to help my soul and to help other people. And if I can make a dollar, well, I'm certainly not stupid. Well, I never accused you of being stupid, Bruce. I just think you're mentally ill. You need help. And like Bob Enyart said on his show this past week, Bruce needs Jesus. That's what Bruce needs. He's tried everything else. Fame, fortune, women, right? Acting, the reality thing, the Kardashian. I mean, he's tried it all. Cars, houses, money. Drugs and alcohol ever with Bruce Jenner? I never heard of any alcohol or drugs problem. Oh, he's never killed anyone, and he's never been a drug. He might be the best advertisement for someone to just start drinking, man. Bruce, I mean, if you're thinking about, maybe you should have just have a drink, dude. Relax. Anyway, here's the thing about Bruce Jenner, and it's one of these questions that's whispered, because there still are a few things that people are hesitant to discuss in public. But unless Bruce Jenner has some of the hardware removed, if you know what I mean, then I'm going to think that he probably did this all as a ruse for attention. If he goes ahead and has the hardware removed, well, then I might believe him. But I think he's probably, I think people are, especially people who've been famous and are no longer famous, I think they can become desperate and do just about anything to get back in the limelight. And that's what I think. That's where I think Bruce is at. By the way, ESPN is giving Bruce Jenner the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. That's right. ESPN is bypassing Lauren. Where is she here? Lauren Hill. She was widely expected to receive the ESPN Arthur Ashe Courage Award at the upcoming ESPY Awards, but they're going to give it to Bruce Jenner. Now, Lauren Hill was a college basketball player who died from brain cancer back in April. Before her death, she raised more than $1.5 million for cancer research. But she's been passed over for Bruce. Why? Because brain cancer doesn't bring in the ratings like a transgendered freak on TV. Give ABC, Disney, ESPN a chance, and they'll go for the freak show and the ratings and the money. And they'll bypass Lauryn Hill, who, by the way, was a real woman. They got some funny tweets here. Elective surgery isn't courage or bravery. Fighting brain cancer with grace and dignity is. Lauryn is most deserving and, whatever. ESPN says, no, it's Bruce. Yes, he came out as a transgender, and that takes courage. Courage and acceptance of oneself. Yes. So we've got to give the award to Bruce, because we all want Bruce to be happy. Host Doug McBurney, joined in studio as usual by my audio engineer, and we've got to get back to the show. We do. We've got to get back. You're supposed to take it down slowly, right? We went through this in Segway class. You're supposed to know how to do this. She has a hard time breaking off with the guitar solo. All right, now. Let's get back to the news with reason number two to keep or get your kids out of private school. Now, last week we had the first story about, for the first reason to get your kids out of private school. And here's the second. This is from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. They're reporting that parents of students at a small Minneapolis private school are demanding the director of the school resign. Yes, parents, these hapless parents of the kids who attend, get this. The name of the school is the Gaia Democratic School, and the parents are outraged. Why? Well, they filed a complaint with the Minneapolis police accusing Starry Hedges, the director of the school, of exposing the children to pornographic material when she took them on a field trip to a sex shop, a shop that sells sex toys, and, we just won't get into that, but we all know what that is. Anyway, so she takes middle school and high school kids, and now the parents are outraged. Well, listen here, you hapless moron. As soon as you saw that the name of the school was the Gaia Democratic School, you might could have figured that you shouldn't send your kid there, but you're a hapless moron. By the way, the school has issued a statement. Yes, in the fine tradition, of issuing a statement when no one has the nerve to stand up and actually answer questions about an issue. The statement says, quote, Gaia Democratic School's Board of Directors stands behind the premise of this field trip. We view it as a legitimate learning experience that relates directly to topics covered during our year-long sex ed class. So the school is defending itself, saying, look, this isn't anything we haven't talked to your kids about. Come on. We talk about this stuff all the time, pops. Sit down and shut up. Pay your tuition and shut your mouth. Well, parents say, according to the Star Tribune, that they are angered that Hedges took the students to the shop without notification or approval. If they would have just called me and told me, I would have let little Johnny go to the sex shop. By the way, Gaia, this private school, they rent space in a Unitarian church. That's the second red flag. I mean, it's named after a pagan god, Gaia. They rent space at a Unitarian church, and now you hapless, idiotic parents are surprised that the director is a pervert, basically. just a pervert, for crying out loud. A predator, a child predator and a pervert, runs the Gaia Democratic School over at the Unitarian Church. All right, please, save your outrage. How ridiculous. Let's delve in now into the politics file. And this is one of the reasons I'm thinking about just quitting reading the news, is the Dennis Hastert story. It just gets sicker and sicker. In an this is from ABC News. Steve Reinbolt's sister, Jolene, gave an emotional interview this past week where she said that she first learned of her late brother's years of sexual abuse at the hands of Denny Hastert back in 1979 when her brother revealed to her that he was gay. So how did she find out he had been molested by Hastert? He comes out as a homosexual. Again, reinforcing the axiom that homosexuals are capable of reproduction, and they do so through the molestation of young boys. That's how homosexuals reproduce, and that's exactly what Denny Hastert did to this poor young man. Now, I heard a report earlier this week on the news that said the alleged relationship developed between Hastert and a student and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, a relationship developed? What are you talking about? How can you report this that way? Why do they have the kid gloves on for Denny Hastert? Now, you read this story here from ABC News. Nowhere do they call Hastert an alleged pedophile or an alleged child molester. It's nowhere in the story. Now, contrast that with the way Megan Megadeth Kelly treated the Duggars in her interview this past week. I mean, the knives were out. Yeah, Megan. You know Megan Kelly, Megadeth Kelly. She reminds me of the lead singer from Megadeth who just always seemed angry about everything. Every song was just him raging about something. And Megan Kelly reminds me of him, but we don't remember his name, or do we? Dave Mustaine. And he says he's some kind of Christian, but he's not happy. He's definitely not happy. He's mad at everything all the time. And Megan Kelly seemed really mad at the Duggars the whole time. I mean, what a vile, disgusting, filthy woman. I hate that woman. Should I say hate? That's a strong term. I hate her in the biblical sense that I love her less than some other people. Let's just put it that way. I can't stand Megadeth Kelly. Yeah, she used the words pedophile. She used the words molestation over and over and over in the interview where she grilled these two parents. Anyway, it's just a contrast. And Denny Hastert, I mean, you have to read between the lines to figure out what he even did. What? Well, a relationship developed. Yeah. By the way, Steve Reinbolt, the aforementioned victim of pedophile Denny Hastert, who molested the boy, he died of AIDS in 1995. Denny Hastert should be put to death if he's found guilty, because he put that young man on a pathway that led to a tortured early death. And Denny Hastert should pay with his life. That fat, disgusting, pedophile, filthy bastard. All right. So you know where I stand on that. Now, speaking of homosexuals, pedophiles, and other garden variety sodomites and deviants, let's go to the Daily Signal. This is out of Oregon. This newspaper up there says that the government agency responsible for enforcing Oregon's anti-discrimination law appears to be working closely with a powerful homosexual rights advocacy group in its case against Sweet Cakes by Melissa. You're all familiar with the Sweet Cakes. This is yet another Christian baker who wouldn't bake a cake affirming homosexual marriage, and they've been sued and fined $135,000. They were about to go broke when they raised like $1 million on GoFundMe by other normal people who were just freaked out by the whole situation. Well, it turns out that communications between the government agency, the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries, communications between them and an organization called Basic Rights Oregon, which is a pile of queers, there was extensive email communications that raised questions about potential bias. Potential bias? Okay. In the state's decision to charge the Sweet Cakes folks and to fine them $135,000. Communications obtained through a public records request show that employees of the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries participated in phone calls, emails, and texting, and meetings with the pile of queers at Basic Rights Oregon. They say it's unclear what occurred during the meetings and phone calls. Well, but it's a pile of queers, so queers and bureaucrats in the mix. So I'm sure it was, activities worthy of the town square in Gomorrah is probably what their meetings were like, for crying out loud. And it's obvious whose side the Bureau took. They sided with the pile. In a statement, the communications director for the Bureau of Labor and Industries said, quote, "We are committed to fair enforcement of the Oregon Equality Act of 2007 and other civil rights protections. In each case, we investigate the unique set of facts to determine whether substantial evidence exists." Unquote. So the government is in bed with the homosexuals, figuratively, if you don't want, anyway. So, yeah, they're all in cahoots, and they are all aligned against the normal people and the Christians. That's who the enemy is. The normal people and the Christians are now the enemy, and the deviants and the freaks and the perverts are the preferred class at this point. Case in point, this next story proves the point that deviancy and perversion is now the celebrated and the preferred class, because Fox News has given a show to Greg Gutfeld. Yes, Greg Gutfeld has I think his new show started this past week. Anyway, I refuse to watch. Yeah, do you guys remember? You know Greg Gutfeld. He has the show Red Eye, and he's constantly on Bill O'Reilly's show because Bill O'Reilly's always looking for someone who can make his show entertaining. Bill O'Reilly's kind of like Sean Hannity. He knows he has no talent and nothing. He's a vacuous, empty suit, so he brings on as many guests as he can. And Gutfeld has been in the regular rotation as of late. And now he's landed a show. And just to give you people an idea of where Gutfeld's from, he's a former writer for a magazine called Maxim, which is often carried to the bathhouse by guys named Bruce. Okay? It's one of those magazines that normal people turn around at the checkout line so that the kiddos don't see the foul, vulgar, pornographic cover. He used to write for that magazine. And he said this past week that he says, quote, this is Greg Gutfeld on conservative Fox News. "Gay marriage, in my opinion, is a conservative idea. It's embracing a tradition, one that stabilizes a community, one that is valuable for families. Why would you exclude that group of people who are born that way?" said Greg Gutfeld with a straight face, and he was not being sarcastic. And Juan Williams congratulated Gutfeld on his comments. Where was Gutfeld? He was on The Five. That's another show that he appears on with a number of other empty suits and skirts over there. Juan Williams being one of them. Anyway, I want to warn you people who consume Fox News. Watching Greg Gutfeld lowers your moral IQ. Yeah, it lowers your moral IQ. It lowers your ability to distinguish between right and wrong, good and evil, because Greg Gutfeld kind of straddles the line there between good and evil. And we all know what that means. When you stand athwart good and evil, and you present one as the other and the other as one on a regular basis, that means that you're evil and you're not a conservative. Greg Gutfeld is not a conservative. And he has landed a show on Fox News proving that the end of Western civilization is not far from us. And in fact, we go now to the decline and fall file. Out of Dallas, Texas, there is now a male version of Hooters in Uptown Dallas. Yes, it's happening. The marketing director at this restaurant, whose name I cannot say, because the name of the restaurant in my day was a dirty word. You couldn't say that. You couldn't say that in mixed company. Now it's on a billboard in Dallas. Let's see. The marketing director says restaurant is based sort of on eye candy, but he calls it guy candy. Yeah, guy candy. The men who all work there as waiters, they wear a uniform that is, consists of a tank top and super short, tight swim shorts. Yeah, the appetizer menu is printed on the inside of the waiter's shirts, so that in order to reveal the menu, the waiter has to roll up his shirt and you get to check out his abs. That's the new restaurant in Dallas. The marketing director said, also, one of our most popular burgers is the S&M burger. That's our Swiss and mushroom burger. He said. There's live entertainment at this new male Hooters, including a drag queen performance on Friday nights. Yeah. Now, the restaurant, by the way, does have a small children's menu if you want to bring the kids. So some standards have changed, some have remained the same, and there are some things that are and the things that should never be. And the things that are and that should never be. Yeah. This is what is and what should never be. Wow, that could be a song, maybe. Anyway. Folks, the ubiquitous availability of pornography and the abandonment of all shame regarding sex and sexuality will be the destruction of Western civilization. That will be the thing that Abraham Lincoln warned us about, that it would come from within, and that's where it's coming, folks. And a lot faster than you might think. She can't stop. She is going to stop. All right. See, in the 80s, a boys' night out meant a whole different thing than going to the male Hooters with the stripper guys. I mean, it's just bizarre how far and how fast we've fallen in such a short time. Anyway, all right. Now, listen to this. Talk about mental illness, which we've addressed here on the broadcast for a considerable period of time. Mental illness. Transabled people. Yeah, I saw this story. I was like, transabled? What is that? Now, is this another soft way to refer to disabled people? Well, they're differently abled. No, transabled people who are people who are normal who want to be disabled. And the story, this is from the National Post, I believe out of Canada. Yeah, Ottawa. Ottawa, eh? It talks about a guy who cut off his right arm with a very sharp power tool, and he now calls himself One Hand Jason. He says his goal was to become disabled. And now psychologists have come up with a classification for these freaks, and they call them transabled. They want to transition into the disabled community. And they say, yes, they say they feel like imposters in their own bodies. Yeah, according to a psychobabbler in Ottawa, transability is the desire or the need for a person identified as able-bodied by other people to transform his or her body to obtain a physical impairment, eh? Can you believe it? Right here in Ottawa. That's according to a Quebec-born academic who's going to give a big presentation. He gave it this weekend at the Congress on the Social Sciences and Humanities at the University of Ottawa, Alexandra Beryl. He's This is the psychobabbler who's come up with this classification. He says the person could want to become deaf, blind, an amputee, or a paraplegic. And it's a really, really strong desire. Yeah. Most crave an amputation or paralysis. That seems to be the favorite for some reason. Although Mr. Barrel has interviewed one person who wants his... Okay, we're not going to even get into that. That was the question about Bruce Jenner, whether or not he's had the hardware removed. This guy wants it removed. He also interviewed another guy who wants to be blind. What's going on here, folks? I mean, this is literally, this is a freak show. This is a freak show being passed off as some kind of clinical condition. And that's just, well, it doesn't bode well for the future of Western civilization. That's all. What does he say? Let's see. The transabled, according to the psychobabbler, are very secretive and often keep their desires to themselves. I wish they would just do that. Just keep it to yourself because you're making me sick. And you're making me worry that the whole world has gone insane. Let's see. Transability is also known as body integrity identity disorder, which was only just added to the emerging measures and models appendix section of the DSM. That's the equivalent of the physician's desk reference in the head shrinking business. So now this body integrity identity disorder has been added to the list of clinical conditions in the DSM-5. Many transabled people want to see this condition fully added to the psychiatric Bible because it might legitimize their experience in the field of medicine. And here's the thing, folks. If you have to seek legitimization of your worldview, you might want to consider the fact that maybe you're just a freak. And the reason that you don't get legitimized is because you're not legitimate. You're just a mentally ill weirdo. Can you say that anymore without being considered insensitive? I think that was insensitive. But I think if you want to chop your arm off, you're mentally deranged. I'm sorry. You should probably be locked in a room and put in a straitjacket. But no, now they're going to be treated as a legitimate underclass. They'll be the next one on the cover of Vanity Fair. Be the one-armed Jason there. Yeah, right. Hey, bring in the ratings, baby. People love a freak show. All right. Now, speaking of a freak show, how about the Republican Party? What's going on with the Republican Party? Have I left the Republican Party yet? I believe I have. I signed up for some reason a few years ago. I remember, for the personhood campaign, I became a Republican just so that I could go to the primaries or whatever, the caucuses. Anyway, I'm through with it. I'm through with them. The Oregon legislature, according to the Statesman Journal, they're in Oregon. They have a big new plan to expand access to birth control. They got two bills going up. One requires health insurance providers to cover birth control prescriptions that are filled 12 months at a time. The other bill would allow women to buy the pill at the pharmacy over the counter without a doctor's prescription. Oregon, they say, could make history if both bills are signed into law, proving that Oregon is indeed dedicated not only to assisted suicide, but statewide civilizational and cultural suicide by choking off the next generation of people and reveling in their own fleshly desires, living only for themselves, and then at the end killing themselves so they don't suffer too much. With no children, they end up miserable, then they want to kill themselves. So now you'd imagine that this would all be sponsored by the Democrats, but the over-the-counter pill bill was a concept developed by Representative Newt Bueller, a Republican from Bend, Oregon, who's apparently friends with Cory Gardner here in Colorado. This must be the new plank in the Republican platform. They're going to take out the pro-life plank and replace it with the pro-birth control pill plank. That's just great. So there is no conservative party anymore. And there aren't any conservatives as far as I can tell. Although, who's the fellow from Texas who announced his candidacy this week? Rick Perry? Isn't that the Journey guy? Rick Perry? No, it's Steve Perry. Rick Perry, former, yeah. And now he might be a moron. I'll admit. He might come across as kind of a stupid guy, but anyway, he might be a conservative. We're going to keep our eye on Rick Perry because, hey, I've forgotten what I was saying in the middle of a sentence before, right? That doesn't make me a complete idiot, does it? I don't think so. Anyway, we'll keep our eye on Rick. Rick might be reachable. We'll see. Although he is a Republican, so that makes me very suspicious. All right. Now let's go where we would expect to be insulted and aggravated by politicians. We'll go to the United Nations. A United Kingdom-based non-governmental organization called the Palestinian Return Center has been granted observer status at the UN as a non-governmental organization. Israel banned the Palestinian Return Center back in 2010 after it became clear that the group was a front for Hamas. So the UN has given Hamas observer status. Why do we suspect they might be aligned with Hamas? Well, the group brought the militant chief of Hamas in Gaza, Ismail Haniya, to speak at its annual anti-Israel conference. So it has one of the Hamas leaders speaking at its anti-Israel conference. Hence, we think they might be anti-Semitic and aligned with terrorists in Hamas. So what does the United Nations do? They grant them observer status. So that's so Hamas can be there to observe when the United Nations grants statehood to the Palestinians, which I think it could happen this session. According to Breitbart, the Hamas-linked group easily gained unrecognition, with 12 countries voting in its favor, including the regular usual suspects: Iran, Pakistan, Sudan, Turkey, Venezuela, China, and Cuba. Yeah. Israel and the United States voted against, but that's only because the fix was already in. Barry knew his people didn't have to vote yes for it, because he already had it worked out with the other Muslim Brotherhood associates that Barry has there at the United Nations. No, I don't think Barry Ho is a Muslim. Absolutely not. I think he's a humanist. I think he's a murderer and a thief and a liar and a humanist. And he likes the Muslims just fine. That's all. Now, speaking of the war file, the Ho administration intends to transfer up to 10 detainees from Guantanamo to other countries this month. And they're also actively engaged with a number of countries in additional negotiations regarding 57 other terrorists who are eligible to be released back into the wild for some unknown reason. Well, these 10 that are going to be released this month, they're going to be the first under the new defense secretary, Ashton Carter. When did we get a new defense secretary? I don't remember that. When did someone slip that one past the goalie? I don't recall. I don't even know who this guy is. I'm going to have to do some research. He's working for the Ho administration, so he's obviously a traitorous heathen, and we need to keep our eye on him. I didn't even know he was in there. Carter has publicly stated that he wants to close Guantanamo, and he says he's focused on all 122 prisoners there, not just the 57 who have been approved for release. So that my prediction, of course, is that Barry will release all the terrorists and close Guantanamo before he leaves office in order to secure his position in his next job, wherever that is, destroying whatever nation that is. Probably ours from wherever he goes. He may be the first president of Palestine, for crying out loud. All right. Now, by the way, I hate to fly. Have I told you people this? I work on the road a lot, and I'll drive 10 hours before I'll get on an airplane. I hate it so much. I feel like a prisoner as soon as I walk into the airport. And a lot of it has to do with the Transportation Security Administration, with the crotch grabbing and the wanding and it's just the suspicious looks. And the whole thing is very unpleasant. Well, an internal investigation for the TSA reveals that, there's some security issues with the TSA. Investigators were able to smuggle mock explosive or banned weapons through the checkpoints in 95% of the time. That's like a total security collapse. That's on par with the Iraqi army when it comes to failure and collapse. 95%? Anyway, so all the crotch grabbing and the wanding and the x-rays and the dirty looks, they haven't done anything to prevent anything. It's just by the grace of God they haven't blown up another plane. As they wand your grandmother, right? And it's just either the grace of God or just dumb luck, or the fact that all the really highly qualified terrorists have been killed. And so there you go. The TSA at work. Billions, hundreds, probably $100 billion or more has been spent. And 5% success rate. I think 5% doesn't even qualify as a passing grade, even in the government schools. I got to take myself a permanent vacation, man. This guy's the limit, but my plane won't fly. My nose is clean, and dirty, don't need no sedation. Yeah, yeah, and that's the reason why. I really need it, really, really need Santa Bay. I want to tan where the sun is, never shines. I really need it, really, really need Santa Bay. You best believe it that I got to get away. Ha! I got a system, bitch. I really got a pinhead. She thinks you're kinky, but you can't get straight. She says you're living, but I kind of think she's brain dead. Come back. That's Rick Perry. No. Joe Perry. All right. He's not running for president, is he? Anyway, it might as well, with the field we've got, we might as well have a strung out old guitar player running for president. At least you know what you're getting with him. For crying out loud. All right. No, we like Rick Perry. We're just having some fun with his name is all. All right. Oh no, now we've got a very disappointing story out of Texas. It's an inmate at the on death row there in Texas. Now, how long was Rick Perry the governor of Texas? Like 12 years, 15 years? Well, the whole time Rick Perry was the governor of Texas, Lester Bauer was on death row. He was convicted of killing four men in 1983, and he spent over 30 years avoiding capital punishment in the state of Texas. And under probably George W. Bush, no doubt the stupidest person to ever occupy the White House, and Rick Perry, although I suppose they can't be held directly responsible since there were a lot of other lawyers involved. Is Rick Perry a lawyer? We got to find that out. If he's a lawyer, he's out. Forget about it. I'm not even going to give him a chance. Let's see. Lester Bauer, by the way. He was found guilty of killing contractor Bob Tate, former police officer Ronald Mays, sheriff's deputy Philip Good, and an interior designer, just for good measure, Jerry Brown, in a deal for a $4,000 ultralight airplane that went bad. He was convicted of killing all four of these people, and he sat on death row for over 30 years. He faced imminent execution six times, and finally was pronounced dead this past Wednesday. At 6:36 p.m. Central Daylight Time in Huntsville, Texas. No thanks to the proctocracy who has infested in Texas as well. The proctocracy is everywhere. You can't get away from them. The lawyers run everything. Now, in fact, it was the proctocracy that legalized, allegedly, the murder of innocent people right here in the United States by declaring that they were not persons or just not wanting to look at the idea that an unborn child might be a person. They didn't want to bring that up during the Roe v. Wade trial. They just avoided the question and just started massive slaughter of innocent people. And they avoided the question of personhood, so we go to the personhood file where we have a report about Planned Parenthood. By the way, Planned Parenthood performed 327,000 abortions during the last fiscal year. At the same time, they received over $500 million in taxpayer funding. Well, a lawsuit just settled here in Denver charged that Planned Parenthood performed an abortion without notifying a girl's parents, as Colorado law requires. What? People who kill innocent children are violating Colorado's abortion regulations? I'm shocked. Oh, they're murdering people and then they're lying about it? No way. Well, after this abortion on an underage girl, Planned Parenthood sent the child home with the same predator who had raped her and impregnated her and had been sexually abusing her for years, enabling him to continue the abuse. The child's mother says she had no knowledge of the abuse or the abortion until months later. The case says, well, before we go on, do you notice what's missing here that goes unmentioned even by this author? There's no father. The young girl who's being abused has no father, but nobody's allowed to mention that. They just roll over that as if that's the way things are. Well, I noticed it, that this girl has no father, and I'm just pointing it out because it's disturbing that society as a whole refuses to acknowledge that when fathers abandon children, they put children in danger. And it should be acknowledged, and whoever this father is should be shamed. He should feel ashamed for having abandoned his daughter, and now she ends up being molested by some pervert, assisted by Planned Parenthood. It's disgusting. All right, but let's move on. The case has exposed information that can lead to only one conclusion. This child is not the only such victim. Yeah, that's right. This author is a conservative, by the way, Natalie Decker. She's a legal counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom, and I think she was involved in this case, which, by the way, was settled very quickly by Planned Parenthood. Once the facts started coming out, they offered a big bag of money, and the broken family involved took the money. Yeah, she says this child's not the only victim. She says employees of Planned Parenthood have admitted that Planned Parenthood has what amounts to a don't ask, don't tell policy when it comes to children and the identity or age of their sexual partners. It's just a partner. Well, so he's 37. Maybe a relationship developed. Disgusting. Planned Parenthood doesn't ask. Nobody tells. And they assist child predators and molesters and pedophiles. One Planned Parenthood doctor testified under oath that Planned Parenthood does not ask the age of a minor child's sexual partner, knowing full well that Planned Parenthood is a mandatory reporter required by law to report any suspected sex abuse, proving my axiom that the law is meaningless when people's hearts are wicked. The law does not matter. That's why all these regulations, all you supposed conservatives want to pass, saying that you have to do this and that and sign this before you can kill the baby, it's all meaningless and useless. It's busy work so you can raise money. I don't understand what you people think you're doing. It's disgusting. Okay, I have to calm down. I have to put my mortar away and just calm down. Let's go to the science. Really? File. This is from the ALS. Which I'll try to figure out who they are. It's a big scientific research organization. Researchers studying organic material from dinosaur bones have been able to show that organic material in the samples themselves contained original soft tissue material from Mesozoic dinosaurs. Yes, the X-ray techniques at the ALS were key to showing a possible mechanism for this unexpected preservation. Yeah, unexpected? 65 million years? Yeah, that's kind of unexpected that you'd find soft tissue and protein and collagen in petrified dinosaur bones. I guess we could call that unexpected. Now, you'd think this would be huge news, but it's not, because they've all been trying to figure out how to explain it. Well, here's their latest effort, or one of their latest efforts. They say that iron nanoparticles associated with the dinosaur blood vessels have been identified, and researchers are hypothesizing that the iron had come from the dinosaur's blood and muscle cells during decay and were able to identify iron-facilitated reactions that contributed to the preservation. So it's the iron in the blood of the animals that actually preserved the soft tissue. Now, this has never been observed ever, anywhere, ever, never, not once, ever. But it's a hypothesis that may explain why these supposedly 65-million-year-old bones contain soft tissue. It was the blood that actually preserved it, right? And so they're going to try to pass this off as, blood, the blood preserved the, yeah. Yeah, and then they say similar preservation may allow the identification of a molecular evolutionary relationships. The identification of molecular evolutionary relationships, rates, and directions of evolutionary change, and eventually the characterization of other traits that have until now remained beyond scientists' grasp. So the iron chelators may explain everything. They may explain all of evolution. So there, it sounds like the evolutionary scientific community is going to create a whole new field now, looking into how iron in the blood preserves and how now it's all going to link everything and we're going to figure out the whole theory. And don't watch what my left hand is doing because my right hand's over here looking at the iron chelators. And then when that all turns out to be complete hocus pocus, we will have moved on to something else. And just keep talking and don't stop and just keep talking. Back in 2005, researchers observed soft, flexible, transparent vessels, fibrous matrix, osteocytes, and intravascular material in the demineralized bones of a Tyrannosaurus rex. These soft tissue components bound antibodies specific for the proteins commonly found and associated with the same components in surviving remains and yielded amino acid sequences consistent with proteins from similar materials recovered from existing bones. This was unexpected because conventional wisdom states that no internal organics should persist across geologic time. No, that's understating it. Conventional wisdom, it's not even conventional wisdom. Everybody knows it's impossible for any organic material to sit in the ground for 65 million years and remain soft and viable. I'm sorry. It's always been assumed that no organic material remains associated with dinosaur fossils. Of course, it's always been assumed that because we assume they were 65 million years old. Well, if they're not 65 million years old, maybe some unique preservation situations cause some soft tissue to survive across a few thousand years. Now, that's possible. But nobody wants to say that. That would just be outrageous to assume that these dinosaurs were anything less than millions and millions and millions and millions of years old. Do I have to go any further with this? Yes. Oh, here it is. It may be possible. To propose a molecular pathway for reactions causing diseases in humans, and once such a pathway is identified, it may be possible to propose ways to interrupt that process. So an entire field of false science may be born because they're trying to explain away dinosaur soft tissue because, as my friend Bob Enyart says of the evolutionists, if they lose the dinosaurs, they've lost it all. If they lose the dinosaurs, they lose everything. And as science advances, ladies and gentlemen, they are going to lose the dinosaurs. And they're also going to lose the theory of evolution and the Big Bang. But don't worry, we've always got the fallback position that they're preparing everyone for. Aliens! Yes, it's all going to come down to aliens at some point. And we're not going to be allowed to ask where the aliens came from and how did their life, how was their life initiated? We're just not allowed to ask. All right. What's left here? We're almost out of time. I have to end the show because, well, it's all depressing. To know that degreed, intelligent people are willing to cling so desperately to a false narrative, it tells me, or it gives me the sinking suspicion that there is no hope for the lost world, the fallen, unwashed masses. There just is no hope. We can't get to them because they refuse to acknowledge truth and reality. And when someone chooses to be irrational, it's very hard to try to get the truth across to them. In fact, it's impossible. And I'm afraid that that's where we're headed. There's going to have to be a great shaking out, I'm afraid. Because for some reason, the majority seems to be comfortable operating within a world of unreality and lies and fairy tales and just ridiculous ideas. And that just doesn't end well, people, okay? I'm sorry. When the Greeks were all wrapped up in their pagan pantheon and deviant sexual behavior, well, we all know what happened to them, for crying out loud, and I'm afraid that's probably what's going to have to happen here. And I choose not to participate. I focus on my own family, and I do this show just to rant to keep my blood pressure down so that I don't have to keep it all in. And since I think I can't stop reading the news because I want to know what's going on, as disturbing as it is to see it all, I guess I feel like if I share it with you, maybe I won't be so crazy. But I mean, sometimes I feel like it's making me crazy. And so maybe, no, I'll keep doing the show. I'll keep going. As long as possible. All right, now, from the Bring It All Down Girl file, according to the Detroit Free Press, there's about 65,000 delinquent residential water customers in Detroit. They owe the city's water department about $50 million. They just haven't paid their water bill. An organization called Food and Water Watch, that's an advocacy group for people who don't pay their water bill, if you can believe that. They say that there's tens of thousands, and they want to advocate for them not to pay their water bill. So, well, this past week, the city started sending out shutoff warnings and has begun proceeding to actually shut off people's water because, well, they haven't paid their bill. Well, the Food and Water Watch advocacy group, well, they're outraged. The United Nations, in fact, the United Nations has even weighed in on this. They have warned the city of Detroit that the water shutoffs are in violation of the residents' human rights. And they have called on the city to stop shutting off people's water and reconnect their water because water, according to the UN, is some sort of human right. I guess so. Well, the advocacy group says, she doesn't say people should pay their bill. She says, no, what we need is an affordability program based on ability to pay. Based on ability to pay. Okay. That's what we need. How about people just pay all their bills? I'm sure they pay their cable bill. I'm sure they pay their cell phone bill. But they don't pay their water bill? Why? You know what it is? It's because people are willing to live in a false reality where they actually believe that they shouldn't have to pay for water. And you've got to get through to these people. And sometimes the only way to get through to them is to turn off their water, for crying out loud. Bring them face to face with reality. But you've always got the leftist humanist advocates who insist none of us should have to pay for anything, and to insist we have to pay for anything proves that you're a greedy white male. You're obviously out to keep everyone else down. Oh, by the way, water shutoffs began in Baltimore in March. People started getting their turn-off notices in March, where about 25,000 people just haven't paid their water bill in so long that the water company's finally like, We're gonna shut them off. Well, if you don't pay your water bill, you should get your water shut off. It might help you to learn that you need to go get a job and earn some money and be a productive member of society and not sit around and feel like the world owes you food and water and housing, clothing, entertainment. But a whole generation has been misled, and they're coming to face reality here with getting their water shut off. But in the bigger picture, they're gonna be hit with a real reality when these humanists and socialists do bring it all down, girl, because that's their goal. Now, my goal is to end the show. So, I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, at Denver Bible Church, and American Right to Life, and my other brother, Darrell, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studio. Should the Lord tarry, I will return next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.